Deuteronomy 16, verse 16 and 17 tells us the three seasons in the year when the men will appear before God. They will not appear empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able. Paul tells us in Corinthians, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man has, and not according to that he has not. Hopefully you have all decided what you will give. You will stick to what you planned to give. And hopefully anything I say will not put you off. But I do have the privilege to speak to you about the offering. I was challenged this week, speaking to a long-time friend who's with another fellowship, an older man than I view him as either a mentor. He can be very blunt, which probably makes him very useful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I said I had the offering sermon out to give. He said, oh, that's interesting. He said, the group you're with, what's the offering for? You don't have a magazine. You don't have a radio program. You're not on TV. Well, that's interesting. Reminded me of a former son-in-law I had. He couldn't abide the idea that we were contributing to a church to maintain a minister. He was a Manchester United football supporter and saw nothing wrong with somebody who kicked the ball around earning more per week than an ordinary working man can earn in a year. Or a manager whose hobbies are racehorses, the sport of kings, and fine red wine. So even Mr. Ferguson can't be all bad. This challenge is interesting. I thought, well, why are we giving an offering? Obviously, from Deuteronomy, it is an obedience to God. But we have a huge responsibility with God's, the gift we give to God, we are ordered to give, that we give it to the right place. We have a work at present with this small group that does not include the things traditionally in the former association we planned. Can't give you a list of how far a few dollars will spread with the PT. But of course, we do have a ministry to support. They are entitled to eat. They are to preach the word in due season. Also, one of the major aspects of what we are supporting is to maintain a study resource. Enormous amount of effort is put in, not just by Mr. Bowles, but by a team of helpers, coordinated obviously by Mr. Anderson the Younger, ably supported by Dad, ably supported by Mum, and all these other people who are computer literate. It's a very strong reason for me not to become computer literate, if you ask me. This study resource is a library of restored truth. It's a record of Mr. Herbert Armstrong's preaching, the gospel of the kingdom of God, which, by this resource, is still going out and is still reaching people. My friend felt we did not have a work because he's even less computer literate than I am. I actually can play a game of Scrabble on the thing. I'm losing rather badly at the moment, but that's another subject. I won't go there. Still 25 years after Mr. Armstrong's death, his work is continued by your support. It also provides a guide for getting back on track in the wake of the apostasy. The falling away, which although it was prophesied, still took us all by surprise. It's also a blueprint for building the spiritual temple to which Jesus Christ will return. In the conversation the other evening, he was doing a study that Jesus Christ will live in the Holy of Holies. You are not preparing to become some little corner storeroom where some offerings or some spare utensils will be stored. You need to be preparing to be the very holy of holies. I'd never thought about that before. Quite glad to be a gatekeeper, etc. A blueprint for the building the spiritual temple to which Jesus Christ will return. That is quite a project. All on an internet website accessible to anyone with access to a computer. We are only a tiny part of God's church, striving to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We are seeking to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, not another man. We respect Mr. Armstrong because he was sent by God. He fulfilled all those prophecies which are so well explained in the apostleship booklet. No one else, to my knowledge, has come along. A number have claimed to be apostles since. They have done nothing to compare to what Mr. Armstrong has done. Some of them are very good mimics. Some of them masquerade extremely effectively. But Mr. Armstrong had already done it. They can write as many booklets or books as they like, but Mr. Armstrong had already done it. It is a pale imitation, a duplication for their own aggrandizement. We can only follow Mr. Bowles and his fellow ministers as they follow Jesus Christ. They are not here to build a work for themselves. It's to continue the work that was already started. That is why we are giving the offering. If we look at Jude, let's look at a few of these scriptures here in Jude, including that one. Let's start in verse 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it is needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Some translations say once and for all. Doesn't need tweaking, doesn't need amending, doesn't need improving, doesn't need updating. It's been delivered. We need to run with that. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. They teach against God's law. Christ died on the cross to save us, not to get rid of the law. He got rid of the handwritten charge sheet against us if we repent. Doesn't mean we are free to commit sin. We are freed of past sins covered by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, which we are in a spiritual fashion reliving this past week, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Once we've been rescued, let's not slide back. Let's not give up on what we hold so dear. Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despising dominion, speaking evil of dignitaries. There are so many websites speaking evil of Mr. Armstrong. If he was capable of all the disgusting things he's accused of at his age, he must have had an amazing constitution. Verse 10, these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. We heard this morning about making merchandise of people. I have felt a number of times I was merchandised. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit wither, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. We need to be very careful where we pay our offering. There are plenty of people willing to take God's people's money, but they need to be doing the work. They need to be following the apostle, and that's including the teachings of Mr. Armstrong. When the offering is being collected with some offertory music from Psalm 137, it's going to be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson, accompanied by Mr. Bowles.